So there I am. I'm trying to cross the border at the Champlain Crossing in New York, and I've just got this 100 or so goats with me. And how do you explain to the customs guy that, oh, hey, we're here. Hi, welcome back. Alongside Nick Charlebois, I am Christopher Harrison, and this is our SharePoint Online development for Office 365, AKA our DevCamp MVA. Now, if you've been following along with us today, what we've been doing is walking through labs 3 and 4 inside of DevCamp, and we just took a look at the connection part. How do we actually get started in doing development with Office 365? Now what we want to do is actually start taking a look at how we can pull out our data. So we want to see how we can work with calendar, mail, contacts. We want to see how we can work with OneDrive for Business and how we can work with our SharePoint data. So let's start off by talking about our calendar, mail, and contacts. Now, the way that all three of those are going to work is if you're using the APIs directly, the object that you're going to use is the Outlook Services client. But one very big key, and a lot of people have asked this question, can we use REST to go access this data? And the answer is 100% yes, you can use REST to do this. Now, for me, I really like the Outlook Services client, but a lot of that's just because I spent a lot of time in C# and I like the IntelliSense and all of that. But one great advantage to REST is that it's so easy to incorporate that into other applications that have already been using REST. So if you've already got that there, you can now start using Office 365 as the back end without necessarily needing a lot of changes to your code. Now, what you're also going to notice is along with that Outlook Services client is that we've got objects to represent any entity that you could create inside of Outlook. So you'll notice that we've got something for our calendar events. You'll notice that we've got for our mail messages. And you're going to notice that we've got for our contacts. And I want to highlight the fact that we do get full CRUD support here. So if you want to be able to create contacts, if you want to be able to modify contacts, if you want to be able to delete them or just simply display them, then you can do all of that through the APIs, or again, you can do that through REST as well. Now, what you're going to notice once again is that we are going to need to handle our authentication. We are going to need to authenticate there, get our Outlook Services client, and then from there, we can go in and start working with our data. The keyword here on the Outlook Services client is going to be me. That's going to represent the user. And then from there, you can access their files, their contacts, and so forth. But let's actually get in and start taking a look at it. So let's take a look. Exercise 2, task 6, how are we going to look at our contacts here? So back over here to Visual Studio, and back over here to our home controller. And let me scroll on down, and here is the contacts. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go grab my snippets here, and I'm just going to do a real quick drag and drop. That part, same as it ever was. Exact same thing that we saw before. The next part is let's go ahead and try and grab the discovery result for our contacts. Remember, again, that's going to give us back for the discovery result, which will give us access to our Outlook Services client. And then our Outlook Services client, and let's try and get that from the cache. Because again, being a good citizen, if we've already grabbed it once, let's just read it out of the cache. Now, what you're also going to notice is, just like before, it's possible that the user hasn't yet logged on and that we haven't yet been authorized, and so we need to go ahead and do that. And so what you're going to notice is very similar code from before, is that we're once again going to check to see, do we have the Outlook client, do we have the code, and if we don't, then let's go ahead and handle the login. Now, very big key here. When I first saw this little block of code right here, I thought it was identical. Scroll on up, scroll on up, scroll on up. to this block of code right here. What the heck? My keyboard apparently decided that it didn't want to work. Take two. Control C is copy. There we go. And let's scroll back up. Do, 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 do. And paste.
Hurry.
That looks better. Hooray. Okay. So this right here, let's just go ahead and label it. That's the one from down below. This is where we're going to be getting our Outlook Services client. And then this one right here, that one is for our discovery. I'm just going to, I'm really falling apart over here. And it's not even that late. Outlook. And then let's try this again. This is our discovery. Okay. So this is the one that we've already seen. This is the brand new one, right? Okay. So let's go ahead and start analyzing. So you'll notice that we, if we're going to log the user in, we need to figure out, well, where are we going to send them off to and how are we going to get them back? And so there's our redirect URI equals. Let's get the authorization contact URL. Let's go ahead and get the URL. Cool. And then what you're going to notice is sure enough that we've got the client ID. And again, that's going to represent the app. Okay, cool. And then again, one more time, we need to figure out, well, where are we going to send the user back to after they have logged on? And again, you'll notice the exact same step. One very big line that's different here, and that is going to be this part right here. That this part right here is the what we want to do, and I want to highlight the word here. Get authorization request URL. So we're not just logging the user on. We're also at this point saying we want to be able to perform operation X. And that's authorization. Authorization is saying that this is what I want to be able to do. And so the first time through, what we said was we wanted to use the discovery service. So we need the URL for the discovery service. And that, by the way, is hard-coded in at the very top. This time, because of the fact that we want to do Outlook, now what we're going to do is we're going to say, all right, well, there is the URL for connecting up to Outlook. So that is where we're going to say what we want to do. And so you'll notice that it's a very subtle thing. It actually really got me the first time that I saw it. But you'll notice that we're now asking to be able to do something different. So again, this is going to be where we say we want to work with Outlook data. And again, this is just like before, the client app. And then last but not least, where do we send the user? So you'll notice that those are the three different components there. So the service resource ID, the client ID, and then that little new URI. Cool. All right. So there is that little part right there. And then once again, we need to go ahead and construct it. And that part is the same because we've already got the authorization token. So that part's actually the same. So you'll notice the code. You'll notice where do we send the user back to. And you'll notice the client credentials. And now we're ready to go. So we'll go ahead and save that down below. And now we're ready to actually go grab our user contact data. So let me just drag and drop out that part. And I'm just going to cheat a little bit here. I don't have email addresses or phone numbers for any of my contacts that I've created, or company names, actually, for that matter. So I'm just going to get rid of that. That's not going to change anything. So I'm just getting rid of that part right there. Now, two little things that I do want to highlight here. Number one is that this is actually going to go get all of your contacts back. You do have the ability through link queries to actually do some filtering, to actually do some paging, to actually do sorting as well. So if you only want to go grab, say, 20, then you have that capability. So you do have the ability to do some limits. The other thing that you're going to notice here is that once we get the results back, because it is potentially going to get paged, we go talk to the current page, and that will go get us the data for the current page. But the last big thing that I want to highlight is that if I go off to my Outlook client.me, you're going to notice that the API here is very straightforward. So if I want to go access somebody's calendar, if I want to work with their contacts, if I want to go in and I want to scroll on down here, there we go. work with the user's email. If I want to go in and send mail asynchronously, or send mail, you'll notice that all of that's right there. So it's actually very intuitive to actually get in and start programming with that API. And it's one of the things that I really do love about it, because a lot of times you'll see kind of like really esoteric things and odd names and so forth. I think they've done a great job of making that very straightforward there. Yeah,
totally agree, right?
Yep.
As we mentioned earlier, I think the important thing to take out of this is that you don't need to know the Exchange object model.
Exactly. Right?
You're coding against Exchange.
Right.
And you're just dealing with objects that are extremely intuitive and easy to use.
Exactly.
That's the beauty of it. And
sorry, I thought you were going to talk longer.
No, yeah. My bad.
I thought he was going to talk longer. I thought had an opportunity to take a drink. Okay. In any event, I am going to just real quick here. I'm just going to clean out the parts for the email address and all that because I don't actually have them. But again, that's not impacting anything on the demo here. Okay. Cool. All right. So now I've got I got all that. Let's go ahead and go access index here. So let's just go ahead and launch this. Give this a moment. It might ask me to log in, Barry. There's your warning. We'll just go over here. Hi. And sure enough, it did. Yep. There we
and
go.
And while you're doing this, I think another cool thing is that we got a commitment from the Office 365 team to build on those APIs, right? So they're
yes.
going to be adding the APIs for the task, so to handle requests with Project Server online.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be adding the graphs, so the Delve APIs as well. So this is definitely going to be a promising future for the Office 365 APIs.
Absolutely.
Really excited to see what's going to happen there.
Indeed. Very cool. Okay. So now back to here. I'm going to click a little link here that says Get Contacts. And you may have noticed kind of a real quick refresh there, because now it had to go back to Azure Active Directory and make sure that I had a token to go access my contacts. And sure enough, there is the list of all of my contacts. And again, you're going to notice that they were sorted by last name there. So now I can see all of that. Okay, cool. Pretty cool, right?
Yep.
Cool. All right. So now, let's kind of keep on keeping on here. Let's get back to my slides. And now let's talk about OneDrive for Business. J'adore.
Look at you.
bonjour, comment allez-vous? Je m'appelle Christopher. Ma grand-mère est flambée et le singe est disparu.
Let's get back into it.
Okay, all right. In any event, my grandmother's on fire and the monkey has disappeared. It's about the extent of the French that I remember. So the thing that I love about OneDrive in general is the syncing. That I go ahead and I save something to OneDrive and it's just available on any device that I go grab. And that could be my laptop, that could be my phone, whatever it is. In particular, I love OneNote. OneNote. And what's great about OneNote, again, is just that instantaneous saving there. So you just go ahead, you save it, and it's just automatically available everywhere. And so it's that same concept. It's just now OneDrive for Business. And you'll notice that it's designed a little bit to look and behave in a lot like your prior, like MySpace, that you would have inside of, or my site rather, not MySpace, my site, inside of SharePoint. So that's where you could throw in all of your files. And so we can see all of that right inside of there. And so all you have to do is just hit OneDrive. It's going to be a slightly different UI, and that will show you all of your files inside of there. And again, just like before, you're going to notice that we're going to grab that off of the My Files capability. That will give us access to our SharePoint client, and then we can go ahead and program against it. But again, let's go see it in action. Cool. So back over here, let's scroll on down, scroll. And now let's go ahead and take a look at our files here. And so now I've actually got this broken down into really just two chunks here. And this first chunk is everything that we've already seen. So I'm not going to go back through this, except just to simply highlight the fact that this time we are going to say, hey, access SharePoint data. That's the main difference that's inside of there. Okay, so now let's actually go get our data. And so there's how we're gonna go get our data. So what I want you to notice here is that the object that we're gonna use this time is going to be our SharePoint client. And what you're gonna notice is that it's gonna be the files collection, and then execute async will actually get us the list of all of our files. But I also want to highlight that we do have the ability to add items into our files as well. So if you want to be able to save into a user's OneDrive, then you have that capability by calling that add item async. So that will actually allow you to create the item, and then you can add the content inside of there. And then again, what we're going to do is convert that into a very basic little view model, and then we're just going to save and display that out. So now what I'm going to do is I'm just going to do a real quick build here, and let me bring back up my browser. Barry, fair warning. Like, I've got him trained. Okay. Give that a moment. There we go. So now let's go ahead and say get contacts. Then it'll take us back to our contacts. And then let's say get files. And then there is the list of all of our files. Now, what I want to highlight here, first of all, is I'm going to head on over to this little URL right here. Let's just paste that in. So that was just the first part. So I left off the extension. This is my my OneDrive for Business. That's exactly what this is right here. And so you'll notice, sure enough, there's all the contents inside of there. So there's my book one, my book two, and my demo. And if you were curious, by the way, why it was filtering out the shared with everybody is just because that's a folder and we really didn't want to display it. So there is all three of the items. But the other thing that you're going to notice here is that we also get back the full-blown URL to go get that item. So if I paste in that full-blown URL, it now says, hey, do you want to open this up? And I say open, and I just give this a couple of moments here to open up Excel, and this may ask me to log in. This one's going to be okay, Barry. It may ask me to log in again just because I might not have authenticated with Excel. I'm good here. And this is now that file from inside of there. And so what I love about that is if you do want to create a front end that's maybe going to allow somebody to open up a file and display it inside of your UI, this is all that you need, is you just need that URL. You don't need anything special. I love that about it. Okay. Now, you might be wondering at this point, hey, Christopher, where did your slide deck go? And that's a great question. I apparently closed it. And then what you might be wondering is, hey, Christopher, what about accessing SharePoint data? Well, I'm glad you asked. Sure enough, we can go access SharePoint data. And you'll notice that we can go access that through the REST APIs if we so desire. And what I want to highlight here is, if you remember back to when Nick Charlebois was doing his code from before, one of the things that he mentioned was we needed to pass along the little authentication information with bearer and then the access token. And so you'll notice that's exactly what we're going to do right here. And that's how we're going to handle the authentication to now get in and do our request. And then the other thing that you'll notice is, again, we're going to use the REST API to send up the XML to create a cool little item. Ooh. And that's exactly what we're going to do right here. So back over here to Visual Studio. And I'm going to just drag and drop out all the projects here. Now, it's worth mentioning, that you might look at this. There's a couple little spots in here, and you might go, that's really not the best practice for doing an MVC app. And you're right. This was built for labs. This was built for demos. So don't dig too deeply in on the MVC design, because that really wasn't the goal here, that it really was just to try and make it demo friendly. Okay, and I don't need that. There we go. Okay, so here's what we've got is, again, we've got the code. That's going to be, hey, do we have our proper credentials? And then you're also going to notice that we've got our little submit model, and that is going to be the data that we're now going to use to create this item inside of our SharePoint site. And so assuming that we've actually got the data that was sent up, then what we're going to do is, just like we've done before, is we're going to set up our authentication context. We're going to go ahead and set up our app settings. And then what we're going to do is make sure that we have a code. If we don't, let's go ahead and get one, log in. And if we do have a code, then let's go ahead and get the authorization token for SharePoint. And once we do that, we're then going to open up our little research projects list. We're going to go get the items. And then what we're going to do is we're going to send up our data using XML. Now, this is where things maybe get a little bit clunky here, because you are going to notice we have to build up the full camel to send up our data. And that's exactly what's going on here. Now, when Nick was doing this earlier, that one of the things that you did was you pre-populated a list. You just hard-coded in that XML. Now we're just building this up programmatically. The real spot that I want you to focus in on is we've got a little statement here with a description and a URL, and then we've got our title and our owner here. So this is really actually the data, the payload, if we will, of the item that we're now going to create. And then what you're going to notice down below is that we're going to send this up by utilizing an HTTP client. And this HTTP client is just inside of System.io, System.io Web, one or the other. But it's just the core .NET class. So there's actually nothing that's Office 365-y about this, that it really is just a regular HTTP request that we're going to go ahead and make there. Okay, cool. And then finally, once we're done, we'll go ahead and say redirect to a very basic little finish screen, and then we'll see our data. I'm going to launch my app, which is my 5-second warning to Barry that I'm going to be going back to my logon screen. All right. So let's just go ahead and log back on. Chugga, chugga, chugga. And then I'll just kind of walk back through the steps. So again, here's my discovery. I'm going to hit get contacts. Here's the list of all of my contacts, get files. Here's the list of all my files, and then create new project. And now it's gonna say, all right, well, give me a title. And so let's just give this a title of demo, because again, I'm very creative. Go ahead and choose an owner, and I'm gonna go with Marcella, and then ask me the document. And we'll go ahead and choose the document, and we'll hit create. And what that's actually doing is it's now pulling that information from before. And so it's actually pulled. Let me just go back to my code here. There we go. Is it's actually pulled out from the data the document link, and again the title and the owner, which is going to be the title of the document and the owner of it. So now if I go back over here and I open up, let's just go to outlookoffice365.com, and I get rid of the JavaScript error message. If I go into sites here, and then I go into my team site, and then I go into my research projects, what you're now going to notice is that there is that demo that was just created with all of that data. And one of the other things that you're going to notice here, and this is one of the things that Nick was highlighting earlier, is I want you to notice the created and the last modified. And you'll notice that it's by MVA Demo, which is the name of our app, on behalf of, and then there is me. So I can now see not only who was the person who did it, but where did that request come from? And so we can see the entire picture. Cool. So what did we learn today? Well, first of all, we finished out those three labs here and walked through the different components that are available. Now, obviously, this was not meant to be all-inclusive of the DevCamp of the Dev Camp. And in fact, if you're on the fence about whether or not to attend a Dev Camp, one of the great things about attending one of those is that you're going to get a very, very smart person like Nick. There you go. That can actually answer your questions. And so it's a great way to actually dig maybe even a bit deeper than the labs go and kind of bounce things off of a real live person. It's also just a great networking event as well. But if you're looking to dig deeper into Office 365 in general, again, I just want to highlight, you've got dev.office.com that you can go check out. Patterns and practices, if you're not already familiar with this, go. That this is really going to have the answer to most questions that people have of how do I? This is right here. Why, when, how, right there. Patterns and practices, that's where you want to go. Again, the GitHub site that we took a look at earlier, that's where actually all of the samples that we walked through came from. Again, the Office blogs, the roadmap of where things are going in the future, and then again, how you can engage. And if you're not already plugged into the community, please do get plugged in because, you know, we want to hear from you. So please, please, please do, you know, say hi. We get lonely. In any event, you know, do please get connected and check out all of those resources. Okay, so with that, let's go ahead and wrap all of this up by saying just a couple of real quick things. Number one, this is a little bit of a different MVA than typical. And the real goal here was to try and do this as an ILL and try and kind of say, hey, look, here's a full lab, all the steps that you need to follow along. Let's go ahead and do it. Hopefully to expose you to the Dev Camp, so that way maybe you're looking at that and you're going, hey, that's kind of cool, and you decide that you want to go check that out. Again, my friend here, Nick, is going to be in Ottawa and Montreal, so you can go check that out. With that, that's actually going to do it for us for today. Do want to thank everybody for attending. You'll notice the poll down towards the very bottom that you can fill out. You'll notice our Twitter handles. I'm Geek Trainer. He's Nick Charlebois. See, I can still say that name. Please do follow us. We can always use more followers. I've only got two. One of them is my mother. I don't know whether or not that counts. And Nick, one more time, I want to thank you for coming out and doing this.
It was a pleasure.
And hopefully we'll get to do this again soon.
Hopefully. Yeah.
All right. So, cheers, everybody.
Yeah, thanks a lot.